This is Hidden Mickey Guy, Steve Barrett, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast. A place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 391 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? This is Ed, and welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, it's all about the headlines. There's a lot of things that's been going on in the different Disney parks around the world, and we're going to take a look back over the last couple of weeks and pick out some of the best headlines we've seen. To help me do that, we have a couple extra co-hosts. Tonight we have Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hey, everyone. So excited to be talking about Disney Nerds news.
I know, right? It's tough keeping up with it. It just keeps coming day, actually almost hour by hour. Along with us, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It is great, Ed and Melissa. Great to be here. And I tell you what I love seeing. This is open. This is open. This is going to reopen. This is going to reopen. I love it, finally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take some articles from the Disney Nerds blog and talk about those. But before we start those specific articles, though, I want to touch base on how there are so many posts in the last two, 3 weeks about a couple of certain topics. The first one, and Sam kind of touched on it, the different mandates coming out in Walt Disney World and Disneyland as far as masks go and the different types of distancing. We started seeing the whole egg crack last week with the temperatures that stopped going. They stopped taking temperatures at the parks. We've been hearing more about how now you're walking around outside without masks, and now we're just waiting for them to get very specific in the different parks and what they're going to do. What have you guys heard?
I'll give you the one thing, Ed, that I absolutely am so happy to hear. I can now have a drink in my hand and walk around World Showcase.
The little things.
It's the little things. But this was the thing. I have a trip planned in June, as you do. And the one thing that I've asked on the podcast before, I've asked Jimmy, I'd ask others. So what do you do? You buy a drink in Mexico, then what do? Well, you go to a table and you drink it. And that's like not how I've ever experienced the World Showcase. So I'm so happy that I can grab myself whatever and just walk a couple of countries before I get another drink. So nice. I'm happy. Very, very happy.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing from Jimmy on a Facebook page on how it's going as he goes down there in the next day or so and seeing these mask mandates being lifted and what it's like to be able to walk around World Showcase again with a drink in hand or just being able to take in all the great smells on Main Street without maybe a mask on and things like that. So I think it'll be really great.
Sure.
I wondered about that, if they were increasing the smellitzers on Main Street or not because of the mask. But
all right, the extra odor.
Right.
So now, guys, before I forget, too, Melissa just joined us Tuesday night's live show, and you can go check it out on the Facebook page. But more importantly, if you start following us over there, like Melissa said, Jimmy's going to be in the parks coming up. He might be doing some live broadcasting from there, kind of showing us how it's going, too. So if you follow us on Facebook, you'll get the updates and you'll get the warnings and saying when we'll be broadcasting. Okay, so back to the headlines. Now, as far as the other things going at the parks with the masks, I imagine we're going to start seeing a lot of sales on the masks that they've been having all over the place, which might be good for the next time. And other than that, hopefully it continues on.
I think there might be a little push, and we talked about this on Tuesday night on the live show, for some sort of lanyard or clip that you can hold your mask on your lanyard when you don't need it, but it's readily available when you got to get into that line to go on an attraction or into a restaurant or a store, and you got to put it on really quickly. So I think that's going to be the next fun Etsy Disney sell is something to keep your mask handy, almost like a little glasses chain.
We have that for the elementary kids, so that their mask can come off when they eat, and it's right there. They're not losing them. So very cool. That totally makes sense, especially since it's going to be off while you're walking around, on when you're back on lines and on the rides.
In this particular case, I need to be treated like an elementary school student and have the mask attached to me somewhere. Yes.
Or have multiple.
Yep.
I plan to have multiple. If it was going to be the way,
I will lose multiple.
If it was going to be all the time, I guarantee it, I'd be walking around with at least three masks on my, you know, because I usually have a little camera bag anyway, and the mask could fold them up and put them anywhere. Definitely, I would have probably three in the parks. Plus the whole Florida hot factor of it getting wet. So, yeah. Just the way you have to think about it. Now, not so much. Plus now, doubly, the way to see, the CD's been talking, the big, thick, double-like masks and stuff like that, maybe not as necessary as those thinner masks that Disney's been selling and things like that, too.
Which is so good. A little bit more comfortable. I can't imagine how hot a mask would be in Orlando right now.
Sure. Yep. Okay, so let's move on to the other big topic that's been kind of hitting the headlines for the last 3-4 weeks since they had that big unveiling live of the new Disney ship, The Wish. We've been hearing so many different things. We've each kind of like focused on a different thing. And you know what, Melissa, why don't you start with one of yours?
I'm really excited. Now, I've never been on a Disney cruise, and it's definitely on my bucket list, but I think Wish is now going to be on that top of that bucket list because of all the Beauty and the Beast features that Wish is going to include. So they have two restaurants and a lounge that are going to be Beauty and the Beast themed, Apollo Steakhouse, Enchanté, which is going to feature a 3-star Michelin star chef, and then the lounge, which is the Rose. And they all feature beautiful ocean views and characters, you know, seamlessly and beautifully incorporated into the restaurant. So I'm really looking forward to the Beauty and the Beast aspects of the Wish.
Oh, I can't wait for it. I saw a picture of, I guess it must have been one of the dining rooms facing the windows where it was really only one or two tables that I could see in the shot. And they seemed pretty isolated, which was pretty cool. Doesn't happen often on a cruise ship.
Yeah, and then if you're a little ocean passenger, you get to be a part of the Disney Oceaneer Club, and you'll be able to enjoy Belle's Library. So I'm a little jealous that I don't qualify, but for all those little princes and princesses, that will be really neat to see and have them experience.
Did they have any description of the library? Like, is it a virtual where things are going to come apart, like alive when you're walking around it, or is it just kind of... I wonder.
Just that, not a lot yet, but just that that was one of the themes in the Oceaneering Club.
Nice. Because those things for the youth, my kids almost barely missed taking advantage of that. And the last cruise ship we on had a great Star Wars area for the one age, you know, of kids that I was very, very jealous of just because we got to see it on the tour of the ship. And that was the last time I saw it. But very cool. Very cool.
Well, you mentioned something there, Ed, that Melissa, if you do go on a ship, you need to know about, which is the first day you get to tour all of the areas.
Yeah, take advantage of that.
So you'll get to go take advantage of it and spend as much time in it as you can because they won't let you in again. But yeah, you will get to go into the library and you will get to go see.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Because you'll explore every youth club, all the different age levels.
And go into all of them, not just the one your kids qualify for. Go check them all out. Even the teen area is really cool.
Yeah, very, very good. Very good tip. So the thing that got me on the Wish was that they have, and they really touted it as the new attraction or the first attraction on the seas. They have the Aqua Mouse, which is a on-deck water ride, water flume, where they have the Aqua Duck on the last couple of ships, which is a really cool ride. You ride in a front and back type of floating raft, and it has jets that push you up a hill. You go across the deck and the see-through tubes, and you go through the funnels on the ship. It's a really cool ride. This looks that much just exactly like that, but it looks like they upped it a lot. From the Disney Nerds podcast website, here's what it says. Families will be immersed in the wonderful world of Mickey Mouse animated shorts aboard Aquamouse, the first ever Disney attraction at sea, complete with the show scenes, lighting, and special effects, and the splashtacular surprises, this first-of-a-kind water ride will send you on a fun family adventure through 760 feet of winding tubes suspended high above the upper decks. I can't disagree with that description at all. That is the aqueduct, which is awesome. They even have the loop over the ocean, so you go out over the edge of the deck and you look straight down at the water and you come back on deck. So
that sounds so much fun. And I love that they are able to incorporate almost like a weenie that they do in Disney World and Disneyland to kind of draw you into that main area of the cruise. That'll be really neat to experience.
Mm-hmm. And as another, I guess we could throw tips out as we're going, but the big tip on the Aqua Duck and the Aqua Mouse, I'm thinking it's going to be, is you got to get it on the off times. Get it right before dinner, or get it during the between the two dinner times, and it's variably empty at those times of the day. It stinks that you have to wait that late, but it's a really, really popular thing to do on ship.
Absolutely.
For everybody, for adults too. Definitely do it.
The Aqua Duck is fun. When I look at the images of the Aqua Mouse, Ed, they're touting it as that first attraction at sea, and you can sort of see it's themed to the newer Mickey Mouse shorts, just like Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. You see some pictures or images inside the tube. I don't know if they are just images. I don't know that they're screens. Hard to tell. But when you're getting water splashed in your face, and you're going pretty quick, I don't know what they can or can't really do. But even if they're playing music inside of it, that could be cool.
Oh, no doubt. I think it's going to be the story that you get over a number of different rides.
I could be. Yeah.
So very cool.
Well, the last news article I saw for Wish come out was, if you're not quite up to riding a really fast water coaster and you have maybe a toddler or a small child, the Wish will also feature a Toy Story Splash Zone.
Nice.
And
nice.
That will have Woody, Buzz, and friends into a larger-than-life rubber bath toys where there'll be sprayers and a splash pad, and there'll also be a Slidosaurus Rex, which that's just a fun name to say.
Right. Now, I tell you what, I just flashed on the other newer cruise ships. That's the Finding Nemo area. I just flashed exactly what it is now to equate it. And that's a really fun area. Our kids weren't young enough to enjoy that, but it definitely would have been fun to be in there with them. So this sounds really good.
All right, so I got to take one here for the Wish. And this is going to play on the other Disney cruise lines where they have these virtual experience lounges where you sort of sit at a bar, you look out of a virtual window, and you're moving from Paris to Hong Kong to different cruise ports. So it fits right in, and you sort of think that you're, you know, moving to these different areas, which is really cool, especially never being at some of those areas. Order a drink and you're slowly moving. What they've done on the Wish is taken inspiration from Dryden Voss's barge, or his yacht in Solo, and the way that it's written at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com.
Okay.
The lounge will offer interactive tasting experiences and signature beverages inspired by destinations such as Batu, Tatooine, Mustafar, allowing guests to have a glimpse through the virtual window over a course of that spacefaring voyage, which means we get to experience Star Wars in a really cool, interactive way in an adults-only bar. How cool is that?
I didn't realize that the story behind that. That's very cool of where we were.
And that's why I can't wait to see this. Now, I don't know if it's good or bad that it's an adults-only area. I'm good with it, but this could be one that the kids might want to see during that tour when you go in. But mm-hmm. This is I can't wait to see the drinks that are inspired by the different places. That's going to be cool.
Oh, I got to hope that Batu has their whole selection. I think that we were looking at it earlier, and the theme of the restaurant is they're going to go to different planets.
They're going to go through course. So StarWars.com shared the destinations with us. We're going to go to Coruscant, to Batu, which is really cool because you'll be above Galaxy's Edge, Endor, Mustafar, which is Darth Vader's castle is on Mustafar, and Tatooine. So it's kind of cool. And there's a whole bunch of cool ships that we're going to see along the way. They highlight the Millennium Falcon on Batu, the Razor Crest or the Mandalorian ship on Tatooine, and the Halcyon at Coruscant, which is the Star Wars Galactic Space Cruiser. Holy cow, this is some really neat stuff.
It sounds it. Now, I tell you what it does sound like. And Melissa, one of the cool bars that I found on the newer cruise ships is this one bar, and I'm trying to think the name of it, but the theme of it was basically that of course, it's a skyline, because you're seeing
skyline
different,
bar, yeah.
You're different, the skylines of around the world. So you go inside the bar, and there's many windows, but they're all animations, or they're all like put up there on purpose for you to see. So
they're not animations, they're real pictures. It's a video screen,
and
right?
it's flowing, and they all flow together, yes. Which is awesome. And you'll see the time of the day there too, if it's daylight or it's nighttime, of Paris, Hong Kong, New York. And what's cool is that they have a menu of drinks that change with every city, of specials they have for that city. Moscow Mule, that's going to be the one in Russia. Things like that. So this has got to be exactly like that. And I guarantee they're going to have some Batu drinks that we all know when they get to that planet.
How frequently do the scenes and the drink menu change? Is it like hourly or each day at sea?
We were thinking it's about 20 minutes, 30 minutes per city. And it just kind of rotates
about
through.
Because it felt like in a little over an hour, you might have visited all of those destinations.
And
so about 20 minutes.
And that makes a lot of sense, because you're through a drink in about 30 minutes.
Exactly.
Too. So you're on to your next city, you're on to your next drink, perhaps.
That's neat. And then I would assume it's going to be fairly similar with Star Wars, where you'll be able to enjoy an hour or two out with just your other adult travel companion, mm-hmm. and be able to experience all the different destinations in that one.
And don't feel bad for the kids, because they're right down in the Beauty and the Beast library ball. So nobody is missing out. That's why this is so cool.
Sure.
Yeah, everyone has their own space and their own things to enjoy, definitely.
And the Disney Cruise Line, which this might not be as big a thing as it was, but if you do have the kids in the cabin, if it's past their bedtime, they have every movie in the Disney library, which is Disney Plus. But that was a big thing on the cruise ship, because they could literally see anything they wanted to see. The different things that keep everybody entertained.
For sure. The technology sounds similar to the new restaurant we will hopefully get in Epcot over by, escaping the name.
Oh, the 20, the space one.
Space 220.
Right.
Space 220, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. It's going to be entirely windows of space. We're going to see us go past the Earth every time we rotate around, or whatever they're going to do. I can't wait for that one.
All of that started with the little virtual portal and the original Disney cruise
ships. How about
that? That's the technology goes back to that, right?
Sure.
It turned into the virtual paintings, or even now in Rock and Roller Coaster or in Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railroad, you'll see the movie posters change, and they just look so real. It doesn't look like a screen at all.
Yep. Very cool. And it's amazing how it made the least wanted room on a cruise ship the most, like, you know, almost coveted.
Yes, that inside cabin. And in fact, people will, you know, if you have a friend that has an inside cabin, it's like, hey, can I see what's going on? And you know, one day you come by and the starfish from Nemo stuck on it. Just kind of, it's right. Just cool.
You have to ignore that they have the oars going through that section of the ship, though, since it's so far down deck two.
Yeah.
Okay, so now another big thread of stories that have come out, and I want to talk about this a lot, is all the Disneyland news. Because Disneyland had just started opening up. They're way behind Walt Disney World in that effect. And a lot of the different things have been announced as far as what's going to be opening up and when. The biggest news that I heard most recently was all the hotels, all three of them, I believe there are, by July 2nd will all be open.
It's really cool.
Now, another big announcement was the Disneyland Marvel, what are they calling it? Marvel Universe, Marvel World?
Avengers Academy.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the entire, they changed a part of California Adventure to become the Marvel, what you guys just said. And
Avengers Campus.
We're looking so forward to seeing this. Quinn and I were lucky enough to be there at the beginning of this transformation when the Tower of Terror was changed into the Guardians ride, which that name escapes me right now too. But phenomenal. And if the rest of that area becomes this good, I can't wait.
Yeah, so it's set to open June 4th, which is really exciting to be able to get Disneyland back opened and back online very quickly. I love that they're not even, you know, taking a breath. It's just like, let's open up and let's welcome our guests back, and we're going to get Avengers Campus open. And so that will open June 4th. And one of the first rides that we've really been hearing about is going to be Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure. And they just released, I think it was yesterday, that you'll be able to purchase your own interactive web power band and then be able to modify it. So then when you're in the attraction, your powers change with the ride based on the band that you have. Now, everyone will be able to have a band, but being able to customize it and re-ride the ride and have a different experience just sounds so cool. Another step kind of after what Millennium Falcon did for us, which was being that kind of choose your own adventure. This is another step in that direction. So really looking forward to this ride.
It is the evolution of some really cool technology. The fact that we're finally getting the Spider-Man ride in California is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's in a Disney park. This was set to open last summer, but clearly the park wasn't open, so it couldn't. So this was waiting back there. The Web Slingers is super cool. I think, in addition, by the way, Web Slingers is one end, and the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout is the other end, and everything in between is the Adventure Campus, including some interesting food locations, including Pym Labs, if I'm saying that right, which mm-hmm. is from Ant-Man and the Wasp, where they've taken some classic food items and made them really big or really small. And it'll be interesting to see the food selection, which I will be interested in when I get out to California Adventure again.
Oh, yeah. They use the PIM word everywhere in the menus. Yeah. Breakfast, lunch, and double lunch.
And it looks right. So a couple of images I saw, I don't know if you guys did, but it's a chicken sandwich. And the chicken patty looks enormous. And I'm looking at the picture going, that's got to be like a slider bun with a big chicken thing on it. That's the only way they could have pulled that off, because clearly it's not that big.
That was a really fun photo that they have in there. And what a great way to incorporate the whole idea of PIM particles in mm-hmm. your food. And it's a really novel, cute photo. And I hope they'll be able to execute on it in person. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah,
I really like the glassware, the cups they use. I hope they are that way. They're
laboratory. Oh yeah, the science lab, right?
Yeah, they have PIM on the side. They're clear plastic, but they look like you could pour it out and use it in a lab.
It looks like a beaker almost, mm-hmm. or something that it. You know what it looks like? It reminds me exactly of that tray full of plants in Living with the Land that always moves. It looks like you could just put it right on there. That's what I think of.
Very cool. So now another place, a food place that really stuck out to me was the Shawarma Palace. And that was a direct reference to the Avengers. That was one of these post-credit scenes where they made fun of going and get some shawarma after like beating all the aliens' butts. And they took that to Disneyland now. So you can get yourself some shawarma in the park.
I was very excited to hear that. I love when people say, oh, you're going back to Disney again? Like, don't you get bored? And I'm like, no, it's the food. And they're like, well, it's just got to be pizza and hot dogs and hamburgers like my local fare. I'm like, no. Yeah. Disney has amazing chefs mm-hmm. and they always deliver on their fun food that's very tasty, whether it's a quick service or a sit down. It looks beautiful. It tastes wonderful. And it's still immersive in the land. So that is just another shining example of it.
Oh, no doubt. Now, my Disneyland friends are going to have to either correct me or not, but one of the things that are sticking out here is that mobile ordering is available for all these locations. And I don't remember that being part of a Disneyland thing. Of course, it's been a couple of years since I've been there, but either way, it's great.
It was limited last time we were there. So there were only a couple of places that offered it, but it looks like it is the way to go now. I mean, in the post-COVID world, Ed, I remember on one of our podcasts talking about the long lines of people waiting for food, and we use the mobile ordering and we're able to get in and out of there really quick.
Sure.
I think those days may be over.
They are. The mobile lines will be a lot longer than the regular lines.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Well, very cool. So the other parts, I guess, Disneyland are just everybody getting back to it again and getting used to the whole idea of getting to the parks. I haven't heard anything how they're controlling crowds or what type of, you know, how many people they can let in at one shot. But I haven't heard anything nasty like they're closing the park because of people.
Which is good.
Right.
I do believe that it's only California residents, and that's not a Disneyland rule. That's a state of California rule that hopefully doesn't last long, and out of state people can get in there soon.
Cool.
I think that works out really well with them having that kind of soft opening with Avengers Campus, that they'll be able to work out any kinks, because that naturally happens, and then be able to work all those out before opening California up to outside residents and visitors. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Plus, it, like we always talk about Disneyland being more of a locals park anyway. So it's definitely, you know, let's get them in there. Okay, so now some of the other stories that kind of stuck out for me on the news part of the blog was that cast member name tags will be changing at the Magic Kingdom, or actually of all Walt Disney World. And you kind of think that's a small thing, but the part that really caught my eye in here is that the name tag itself is going to be kind of a gold shiny-ish, so it's going to stick out, lights are going to reflect off of it. But the name itself is in, and they called it Cinderella Castle Blue. So they're matching the color that they, I guess, made part of the castle, depending on the time of the day you're looking at it and which part of the sky the sun is in, blue. Which, and it looks pretty cool, and it makes it stand out for the cast members getting the new badges for the 50th anniversary. So, you know, looking forward to seeing that. Just as something different, and kind of stood out.
That is kind of neat. Always up for something small like that. It's little, it's a little detail, but I like it.
I was just saying that'll be neat.
Yeah.
And I'm just, because we always look at those name tags looking for where the person's from, looking for somebody from, you know, our hometown or close by or something like that.
Yeah, same here. And I like seeing the pins on the pin where they get their recognition for however many years of service too.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, I saw one getting ready for the 50th. So between now and June 3rd, while you're at home, you get to test out Disney's partnership with Snapchat, where there's a couple of different filters and you'll be able to have Mickey and Minnie with you in your photo. And as this progresses to get closer to the 50th, they are going to continue to add more and more filters, and they'll be accessible within the park. So this is going to be really exciting to, as you know, have different visits through the 18-month celebration, that maybe you'll get to discover a new one and be able to share with your friends and family back home. So between now and the 3rd, anyone testing out the filter, definitely post it on to our Instagram or Facebook page and let us know what it looks like. Looking forward to seeing them.
That's really cool.
So do you guys know what Snapchat is or anything about it?
My kids talk about it all the time.
A little bit.
So let me ask you this. We were talking about, or I've heard about these different places in the parks you can get your picture taken with characters. I watched this great show, Womp Rat Radio, and they were talking about you can get a picture of Grogu in Galaxy's Edge on your way to, I guess, to Toy Story Land. And is it that way? Or can you take a picture with Mickey behind you anywhere? That was a long way to get to that question. Sorry.
It sounds like with the were you talking about with the Snapchat filters?
Yeah. Yep.
That it's going to be, they could be specific places or just within the resort property. So maybe some are going to be all the time or all areas, and some might be secret hidden ones, kind of like we saw with like Pokemon Go and that trend in the parks. This might be kind of that same idea to get people moving around the parks and finding maybe these secret Snapchat filters. That would be pretty fun.
Gotcha. That is kind of cool. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Go over there.
Sure. Why not? That's cool. That's a really nice thing to look forward to. I also heard that, kind of speaking of the things you run around and do, the what is the game in the Magic Kingdom you play with the cards?
Sorcerers.
Kingdom was supposedly going away a couple weeks ago. It was supposedly, quote unquote, its last weekend. However, I just saw an article yesterday saying that it's still up and running. So I'm not sure what's going on there. However, if you have a chance to get to the parks anytime soon, take advantage if you want to play it one more time. It might be going away.
I so hope it either doesn't go away or it's just down for a refresh and I update some technology, or while they were working through some COVID concerns, you know, with cards and things like that. But it's such a fun game to play with all ages, especially, you know, we would do it in the afternoon when the crowds were maybe a little bit higher and there were lines, and we'd, you know, grab our cards out of our bags that we had collected over a couple of different trips and, you know, hit up a couple of different maps and things. And, you know, then, oh, there's a ride and it has a short line. Let's, you know, go on that ride. So it's just a fun way to break up the day and experience something different. And not to mention the party cards were always great. Like at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Yeah, or the Christmas party. Absolutely. They had the special cards you could only get with the party ticket, which would hit eBay for a lot of money.
Nice. Another thing they collected at Disney World. How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
And it's free. You know, you didn't have to pay for it. It was something you could just go right over to the firehouse and sign up and get your pack of cards and get started.
So I always thought that was just a natural progression. You had that game, then you had the one with Jack Sparrow's maps, where you were going around Adventureland and doing all of those really kind of more virtual, not virtual, but like 3D-ish type stuff, as opposed to using screens like in the Sorcerers. And then I was just thinking that maybe we're going to get to the next stage.
Well, we're still waiting over to Epcot to get from, what is it, Phineas and Ferb right now? And we were supposed to be transferring over to DuckTales.
Yeah, you're right.
Is Phineas and DuckTales is actually, they're not continuing on. I thought I heard they were going to be canceled.
Which would be par for the course for that at Epcot, because it seems to Kim Possible started after that series was canceled.
Good point. Phineas. Yeah, but so, still is fun as hell.
That's par for the course.
Yeah, I take that. That's great. That
maybe it's a bad omen.
Maybe, but I was looking forward to that, to be honest with you, because I think DuckTales are awesome. Same. And they could interact that with the, it gets back to the Disney Play app. They don't give you the phones over there anymore, but I really wanted to see that come about, and we haven't heard anything about that since COVID.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And we enjoyed the Phineas and Ferb version as well, and we're looking forward to DuckTales. But I think that even really the next progression was then The Void, where you got to don a helmet and walk through a simulator. And when you reached out to, they said, sit down, you sat down and something was really there. They said, reach out and grab a blaster, and you really grabbed a blaster. And then we now have the Web Slinger and we'll have Millennium Falcon. So it's just really exciting to see how much their technology is going so fast to be able to get you this immersive experience that's unique to just you. And it's not the same every time you go back.
Right. Now, I wonder if they're going to have a little of that in the Guardians ride in Epcot.
Yeah.
You know,
why not?
Yeah, why not, man?
So, very cool. Now, another bit of good news I saw on one of the other posts was in Animal Kingdom. Did you hear about the new zebra? Where
she was so cute.
On the safari, one of the zebras had a foal in front of a couple carloads of people. So
no way.
They got an incredible.
I did not hear that.
Yep. They got an incredible real life experience, and
I would have expected that to be backstage.
I guess they didn't know how far along she was. She was along, perhaps, or maybe the zebras, they're not that up on that. Who knows?
Yeah.
Because zebras, really, if you think about it, they haven't been in Animal Kingdom a long time. I think it's only been, say, 5 years or something like that. Where I remember hearing articles, and it's like, well, the first zebras. But it's cool because this was a what type was this one? This was a Hartman zebra. And I just learned something today in that they don't have, their stripes stop at their belly. Their belly is completely white. And the other zebras are, they go all the way around. So interesting. And so good news. Now what they do is they do take it off, off site or off stage, I guess is a better term for Disney. and the foal and the mother will be in the back area for a couple days, and then they'll be released back to the herd.
Yeah, that's what you expect. That's good.
Yep. But yeah, definitely you didn't pay for that. That was awesome.
I hope they're still recording Josh Gad's Animal Kingdom show that was on Disney Plus with Nat Geo. They did one of the episodes was about their zebra population. So definitely check that out if you haven't on Disney Plus. But maybe they'll give a little bit of a backstory to that if there's another season.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be great. I did really like that series. That I think that series on Disney Plus changes some things when it comes to Animal Kingdom. Sure. And I think it's made some of those cast members celebrities, actually.
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other day, how that really kind of adds to your experience being there because you know what's going on behind the scenes. And they are a true zoo. They are a true, really, they're helping these animals. They're
not the zoo.
It's a true wildlife preserve where they're helping out these animals and creating, you know, new animals. They are, you know, perpetuating their stock, which is awesome. Okay, guys. So there's a lot of things that are going on in the Disney world. And if you want to keep track of it, check out the Disney Nerds podcast blog. Check out our Facebook pages. In fact, you know what? Get in touch with the show and our friend Jimmy is going to tell you how.
He's always watching.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 391, the headlines. What headline did we miss that we have to know about? Definitely send us that email. For Melissa, for Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
TTFM, ta-ta for now.
Kongaloosh.